What is going on, Badger fans? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. I'm your host, Ryan Herrings. Great show today. John Garcia Jr. is coming on. We're going to talk about Luke Fickell recruiting from a national perspective. What is he bringing to Madison? Who might be some players he targets? We got a bunch of awesome stuff to talk about today. Locked On Badgers, let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Badgers, your team every day. I really do truly appreciate you tuning in. I am Ryan Herrings, your host. Today's show is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. And we're going to jump into it. We're going to bring John Garcia Jr. on, Sports Illustrated recruiting director, Locked On's college football recruiting insider. And John, there's a lot that has changed since we've talked recently. We were talking, you know, what's Jim Leonard going to potentially do? What's this mean? What's that mean? And boom, Wisconsin hires Luke Fickell. What does this mean for Luke? What is Luke Fickell from a national recruiting standpoint? What is he bringing to Madison as a recruiter and as his staff that he builds?
Just a level of like professionalism. This has been his rise at Cincinnati, and obviously all those years at Ohio State, just created just this kind of safety net. He felt like such a no-brainer type hire for whoever was going to grab him after that Ohio State run. It ended up being Cincinnati, and I mean, my gosh, outside of a national title, he lifted them to every other height, right? College football playoff, top draft picks, development, identity, and kind of this openness on top of that that has allowed him to adjust to the times. Early on, I think it was very much a defense first kind of mentality, and he'll always carry that because of who he is. But the Cincinnati offenses of the last 5 years in particular have really opened things up, particularly at the quarterback position, dual threats, right? Going back to Hayden Moore, of course, Desmond Ridder over the last few years, even Ben Bryant this year. That's really where I think the CEO-ness of Luke Fickell has shown its true colors, and his success has been a constant despite what a lot of great coaches deal with, a lot of turnover, right? A lot of great assistant coaches in and out of there up at UC. So I think it says a lot about his floor, but his ceiling as well, because he has shown the ability to adjust while still playing to his players' strengths and creating an identity based off of that, as opposed to, hey, I'm Luke Fickell, I'm going to do what I do, and that's it, which, you know, over the years has been proven to not work in college football. And Wisconsin fans, of course, are privy to some of that, I would imagine, under previous regimes. So it's both a breath of fresh air, but also like a confident, relatively safe hire. And I think from Fickell's perspective, it's fascinating, right? Every year he's the first name in all these coaching carousel hot boards and all of those things. And look, when Notre Dame came open last year, it felt like, okay, this was going to be when he moved, right? This was going to be Fickell had just hit the playoff with Cincinnati. This was the time. Get back, you know, stay in the Midwest and go from there. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen. So for him to take that leap of faith elsewhere in I guess, Big Ten country, for lack of a better phrase, I think that says a lot about what Fickell thinks of Wisconsin, which is really, we don't never talk about that, but I think he feels like there's such a high ceiling there because, you know, I mean, God knows how many opportunities he's had over the last 5 years. So to take this one at this time, I think it says a lot about Fickell's confidence in Wisconsin, just as much as it says about Wisconsin's confidence in Fickell.
You know, one of the things we talked about a lot is Wisconsin's brand carries a lot of weight. Wisconsin offer means quite a bit with their consistent winning, playing in the Big Ten. I feel like in a way you still have that brand power, but now adding a coach like Luke Fickell, what does that do for recruiting nationally to open some eyes or open some new avenues for maybe potential skill players?
The combination of success, youth, and experience that Fickell brings is like, it's the trifecta, right? There's really not an area of the country now that Wisconsin won't have the ability to contend. Doesn't mean you're just going to hit the ground running and everything's going to be smooth, but his name and that recent success in particular, everybody who follows the sport even casually knows Luke Fickell was in the playoff last year. There's just not a lot of coaches who can say that at this stage, even though we're, what, 7-8 years into the playoff itself. There's still a small group of coaches who have truly been there and done that. So I think that was really the last step in his resume build at Cincinnati before moving on. So that's going to create cachet because it hasn't missed the marks thereafter. You know, if you're a program who has great success, but it doesn't translate to the NFL, or if you're a great program that has success that doesn't contend with high level programs in recruiting, then it's more niche, right? Think of Boise State back in the day. Think of some of these other programs where it feels a little bit more niche, where it's like you're not developing first round picks and winning all at the same time as this fun Cinderella school. Well, at Cincinnati, he's been able to do all of those things. It's been at the highest level. And by the way, from a recruiting standpoint, just factual, we've ranked, this is our fourth class or third class coming to a close here at Sports Illustrated. They've been the top G5 class every single cycle that we have broken this thing down. And they were in our top 25 as the only group of five schools until this December update, where obviously Cincinnati has lost, I think, what, six or seven recruits from this class, which I think that tells you how much weight Luke Fickell brings on the recruiting trail, because those kids who are decommitting from Cincinnati originally picked them over Big Ten schools, over other Power Five programs. So again, all of that says a lot about what he has done, and it's like we're getting updates on that perception seemingly every day as another, you know, Cincinnati kid decommits.
Yeah, you know, one of the interesting things for me, and you kind of hit on parts of this, but I wanted to kind of maybe articulate it into one sentence, is a lot of people feel like this is Wisconsin taking a hard, sharp turn away from their culture, right? You had in-house Jim Leonard, the Wisconsin guy, and now Wisconsin, I've seen the comparison, don't become Nebraska, don't forget who you are. To me, it feels like, and I'm really curious from you on a national perspective, that Fickell seems kind of like a Wisconsin type of coach who just hasn't been at Wisconsin. He believes in player development, you know, tough defense. Like, he's a Midwestern guy. It doesn't feel like it's a giant departure from Wisconsin culture.
Right. Just because you hadn't gone there doesn't mean you don't fit. You think of some of these great coaching staffs, and for every Kirby Smart that did kind of go there and go through that, there's a Dabo Sweeney that was just a tangent away in a similar culture, and it kind of worked out when he got to his head coaching post there at Clemson, right? So it has worked in a multitude of ways. And again, it just, that success translates. It's really, there's not a whole lot of examples of guys who go G5 to P5 with that level of success that experience the back end of it, the negative end of it. So I think, again, it just feels like he's a fit culturally, certainly philosophically. He brings you that, we want an identity, we want to be physical, we want to do it the right way, but we're also modern and up to date with everything that's going on at the same time. So we understand, hey, the quarterback needs to be mobile. We need to push the ball down the field. We need to recruit at this certain level of expectation. So it feels like a blend. And I think you put it in a great way. Obviously not as one-to-one as Jim Leonard, but kind of the next best thing in that regard. But elsewhere, it brings you, again, just this safety to me, this clarity of, okay, Wisconsin's going to be fine. It's just a matter of how soon. Is this a one-year thing? Is this a two-year thing where all of a sudden Wisconsin's back to, you know, threatening for double-digit wins in how the new-look Badgers will present?
That's exciting times, man. We're going to take a quick break here from our friends, but coming up next with John Garcia, we are going to get into maybe some players that Luke Fickell might be targeting, or the Badgers now might be targeting to bring over with them, as well as what's his ceiling at a Power 5 program as a recruiter. We're going to get into that next on Locked On Badgers with John Garcia. But first, today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at BetOnline. BetOnline remains the number one source for all your sports betting needs and information. It's the best space I use to get all my sports coverage, from golf, baseball, basketball, football, hockey, esports, racing. It's all there. I do live in-game betting plus futures betting. If you always listen to this show, I have people clowning me now, but y'all know I got money on the Suns to win the finals. I got money on the Niners to win the Super Bowl. Those are my teams. I bet with my heart, not my head, but I use BetOnline to do those things. It's a great opportunity. If you want to have some fun with it, test your sports knowledge, spice up your football, baseball, basketball watching experience. Do it responsibly, but do it on BetOnline. You're not going to find a better place. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device. We'll see where all the trends and actions are. BetOnline, where the game starts. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Locked On Badgers. As always, making this one of your first listens every day. I really, really do appreciate it. When you're done here, go check out Locked On Sports Today for all your biggest stories of the day on the Locked On Network. And let's get going. Let's get John Garcia back on the show. a bunch to talk about. We're not going to get to all of that we want to in one show, but that's why we're able to keep bringing them back, which is awesome. John, first of all, I want to get started, especially with signing day coming up, transfer portal about to pop off. Where can people find your work?
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit of everywhere, but certainly SI.com will have a lot of signing day coverage this month. We're in the month of early signing day, so that's going to be quite fun. And, of course, all over the Locked On Network, and we'll be talking about it all day long on Twitter as well, at @JohnGarcia_JR.
I love it. All right, I want to start here. We've talked about Fickell, the coach, the culture, what he's bringing, his background, his experience. What do you think is reasonable for Badgers to expect once this thing gets off and running, the train starts heading on the track for recruiting? What is the Badgers' actual recruiting ceiling with Luke Fickell?
I think, you know, he's saying – I listened to the press conference. You know, the portal came up, of course, but he was kind of resistant, and I think that's fascinating, right? How easy – or not easy, but how typical is it for first-year coaches going through a transition to just, hey – Let's hit the ground running in recruiting, but let's also use the portal like crazy, right? And it's worked, right? Look at Lane Kiffin, look at Brian Kelly, Lincoln Riley is probably the better example to use than those other guys. You're able to acquire talent in a very, very quick way, especially when you have a reputation attached to your name, like Lincoln Riley did, and certainly like Luke Fickell does. But still, he wants to go against the grain in that regard and supplement with the portal. So high school is still going to be ground zero for talent acquisition, and Wisconsin has what, 9 verbal commitments. So what we should expect is a lot of effort in trying to figure out who might be fits for the new look Wisconsin Badgers. And that usually means 2 things. One, obviously you look back at that Cincinnati commitment list, kids who have already said, hey, I want to play for Luke Fickell, and I want to put it on, not on paper, but on at least on social media or digital paper, if you will. And then 2, guys who are either under the radar or on the bubble, right? I mean, Cole LeCrew was that for a very long portion of the recruiting process. So a couple more guys like that. Use your staff to find out who slipped through the cracks, who are the senior risers, who are those who have athletic profiles but maybe don't have the technique to play at Ohio State or Michigan or one of those schools at this time. You know, go find those and develop them. That sounds like exactly what Fickell wants to do. So there'll be a supplemental process even in the high school ranks here over the next weeks and months. So it means all the eggs aren't in the December 21st basket for the early signing period. It means it will spill over into the new year and probably beyond. This is probably a 365 kind of deal the first year. Again, this past cycle taught us that when chaos goes down and all these jobs are changed, it's a different approach for each head coach. And some of them go slower and more methodical, and some of them don't. So there's really no one way to do it, but it sounds like he wants to go old school, very much high school dependent. So I would expect Wisconsin by February, by the traditional signing period, to have a semblance of an entire recruiting class. That's 20 plus recruits with balance built, I would imagine, based on his history, built from the inside out, which fits the Big Ten to a T. So that's what I would expect over the next few months. In the short term, it's about identification. Who are you going to target? That's a big step one, but that's certainly where you got to walk before you run.
Yeah, and then once we really get this going, so we see he puts his staff together, and to your point, it's kind of crazy right now, right? The signing period is coming up. But in the next couple of years, and I know stars don't mean everything. As a Badger fan, I know that more than most, right? We built our program on 2- and 3-star guys predominantly. But do you think top 20, top 25-ish type recruiting classes, is that a spot that Badger fans should be thinking about now when you have a guy coming in that really emphasizes recruiting and has that name value?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think top 20 should eventually be the expectation. But look, again, at Cincinnati – he was at a top 25 clip without hesitation in terms of every single cycle, despite all the nuances, all the changes that have affected recruiting, right? The portal, NIL, the one-time transfer rule, COVID, the extra pandemic year. Everything has presented an opportunity to slow down that type of coach and that type of school in the recruiting game, yet it hasn't. So I do think that eventually the expectation should be top 25 classes where you are contending more with, you know, the big boys in the league, right? And right now, obviously, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, it's the same schools that we all know and follow. Now you have to contend with those as opposed to making it so hyper-regional and focusing on those that are more traditional rivals like your Iowas and your Minnesotas. That's what we always talk about on this show. No disrespect to those programs, but you bring in Luke Fickell to contend with the Buckeyes and the Wolverines, not so much the Hawkeyes and the Gophers.
Yeah, you're making Badger fans happy hearing those words, man. They're going to go ahead and follow you on Twitter now, hearing that stuff kind of get you hyped up. Let's talk about Cole LeCrew. Because he feels like a type of a quarterback that would fit into a Fickell system, right? A little more dual threat, a little bit more improvisational. He actually mentioned he sees himself as a little bit of a Desmond Ridder type of guy after talking to Luke Fickell. What do you think there?
Well, I think it's important for both of those parties to know where they stand on their side and how the other guy feels about them. And it looks like each has been able to establish that. Anytime there's a coaching transition, my recruiting brain goes to, what about the quarterback? You know, like Auburn just hired Hugh Freeze, but they took a quarterback commitment before that point. I don't know how that's going to work out. Well, at Wisconsin, we know LeCrew's in. You know, we know Fickell has told him, according to the kid, that he wants to stick with him in this class and kind of build around him and kind of use him as an extension of the coaching staff to help piece this class together in December, January, even into February. So I think that's really cool. It's a great story where there's continuity between the last staff and this staff in terms of that desire to develop. And he's a great example of that type of recruit. And he's important, right? He's the quarterback. So if you talk to receivers and running backs and linemen, having that player on board is really critical. I think athletically and skill set wise as a quarterback, he certainly fits more of what Cincinnati has done versus what Wisconsin has done over the last few years. You know, he plays, like you said, more of that off script game. He can play in the pocket as well. He's got good athleticism to him and his best balls ahead. That sounds a lot like the eval for Desmond Ridder and Hayden Moore and Ben Bryan and some of these other players that Fickell has brought in and developed. So I think that's going to be a great start to this process, because now those kids know where they stand. So doesn't mean they won't grab another quarterback or try to. So that will be fascinating to see, because you need arms. The offense will change. You need players that fit what you want to do, even if they are to be developed, you know, which is a common misconception. So I think it's a great start for both parties. And personally, just happy to see it. Happy to see it for the kid who got over that hump, got that Big Ten offer that he'd been waiting for, jumped on it, and now is going to be able to hold on to it 20 days before he can make it official.
Yeah, I mean, I had the same thought. It would have been really, just from a personal standpoint, kind of heartbreaking to see him get that offer after fighting for it, and a new coach comes in, and not really no fault of the new coach, but then have that offer yanked away. It would have been tough to see that. By the way, Cole LeCrew playing for a Colorado State Championship this weekend as well. He's in the 4A final, so if you know people watching this or listening to this show want to go check that out, cheer him on. That's going to be fun to see. Coming up next on Locked On Badgers with John Garcia, we're going to take a look at some of the players that potentially Wisconsin could target and vice versa. Those players may target Wisconsin as well. That works both ways. That's coming up next on Locked On Badgers with our friend John Garcia. Thank you, everybody, for keeping tuned to Locked On Badgers. Your first stop every day. Really do appreciate it. We're just continuing to talk about the big seismic news of Luke Fickell coming in, recruiting ramifications. And, John, I mean, this is kind of obvious. Anytime a coach shifts, all eyes look at commit lists, right? And I mean, it's kind of unfortunate if you're the school getting raided. It's kind of exciting if you're the school getting the coach. Badger fans have been on both sides of it. Bielema left kind of right after a Big Ten championship game many, many years ago. So we've been on both sides of this. Who are some players that we should look at from the Cincinnati list that feel like a possibility here?
Well, look, Ryan, they had a top 25 class in hand. So that means it was voluminous. It was balanced. It had a little bit of everything within it. You know, I guess the low-hanging fruit is the quarterback, right? I mean, I kind of hinted at it earlier. Brody Drogosh is a Michigan kid, so he grew up in Big Ten country, who really fell in love with the philosophy of the Bearcats down there at Cincinnati. And he is, you talk about different. This is a legitimate dual threat. You talk about the best dual threats in the country. He is in this conversation, can really pick him up and put him down. Ran for 1,300 yards as a senior, 50 total touchdowns. I think 20 came on the ground. So this is a different type of mobile quarterback than maybe LeCrew, where you're like, he can improv if he has to, and we'll keep the defense honest. With Drogosh, it would be more, we're going to design some runs here. for him. So it's a different dynamic in that regard. But on the flip side, certainly some development still needed in the passing game for him. So again, if you create a two quarterback scenario, that's kind of what it should look like. A guy who has more experience and more comfort in the pocket and efficiency and all that. And then the guy who's just a great athlete who could also develop some of those passing skills. So maybe they complement one another. Not something we've seen a lot from Fickell at Cincinnati, but again, transition, new personnel. We'll see with the lack of resources personnel-wise if that's something that they pursue. So he's one that I would be curious to see if they pursue. I saw Tulane offered, I think the day Fickell took the Wisconsin job, Tulane offered him. Their offense is very much wide open and productive under Willie Fritz, who has announced that he's sticking with the Green Wave. So he's the first one that came to mind. But look, I like a lot of these skill position players that Cincinnati has brought on board. And if you think of the NFL draft and the success, we've seen a lot of it push in that direction. Amari Snowden is like a 6'3" and a half defensive back. Isaiah Simmons, hybrid something. We don't know what he is, but he plays corner at that size. I've seen him work well at safety. He might grow into linebacker. That's the type of player that can come in and really help bridge a gap between the old personnel and the new personnel, because he can move around so darn much. So he decommitted, one of many players who decommitted from Cincinnati in the last few days. Just saw he scheduled a visit to West Virginia. So Power Five schools are definitely going to stay in the mix for Amari Snowden, another Michigan kid there, by the way. And then going to Illinois, where we've seen success from Wisconsin, really always, Malik Elzey, he actually decommitted from Cincinnati during the season, I believe in October, so before the Fickell news was even, you know, talked about on message boards. But he's been looking at Power Five schools since that point as well. Tennessee, a couple of others. And this is a big physical wide receiver who's got some downfield ability coming out of Simeon High School, one of the storied programs there in Chicago. A lot of people expected him to jump on board with Illinois when he decommitted from Cincy, but it didn't happen. Other schools started to get involved and kind of slow down the process for Elzey, who I believe with Drugosh was the highest rated Cincinnati commit on the board at one point. So there's a lot of talent there available on that Cincinnati commitment list. I think one of their corners has already flipped to Michigan. So there's going to be a lot of action with that group, because we talk about staff evaluations when we talk recruiting, Ryan, and folks trust Luke Fickell and his staff over the long haul, right? Cincinnati has always, under him, had to hold off Power Five schools from poaching on their commitment list. So with him actually having moved on from the program, that will be accelerated to a high level here at the end of this cycle. So you expect Wisconsin to jump in for at least some of them. You don't know how much courtesy is maybe communicated from Fickell. I think that's important too, right? Maybe, you know, hey, I'm not going to poach many guys, but I really need this one. You know, depending on how those conversations go with his former employer, That could be a bit of a wrench in the, hey, let's just raid and take all these kids to Wisconsin instead. It never works that seamlessly. So that's something to keep in mind as well. But again, it's about winning and talent acquisition, and Luke Fickell has understood that in a great way. So I would imagine some of those kids are targets at Wisconsin here going forward.
Yeah, and listen, you certainly hit on the, I would call them the money spots for Wisconsin, right? You hit on a quarterback, a receiver, a corner, all spots that typically Wisconsin needs a little help at. And I did want to, you brought it up at the end, but I did want to expand on that a little bit. All's fair in love and war and recruiting to some degree, you know, but how do coaches, maybe especially coaches that built themselves up at a smaller school to make the jump, how do they typically approach that recruiting class? Because there is an element of having a little bit of, I don't want to say cutthroatness to this, but you have a loyalty to your new program, but that old program did build you up.
Yeah, it works both ways. Typically, you see some action with the former commits or even players, right? Let's not ignore that. Cincinnati players could be portaling to Wisconsin here. You'll see some of that, but yeah, it's never a bunch. It's never like, hey, 10 kids who are committed to one school are now headed to the other. I think one of the more polarizing examples of that was Lincoln Riley. There were a lot of Oklahoma targets, commits, and current players that made the move with him. So that one was a little bit more extreme, but most of these transitions, when you go, let's be honest, when you go from good school to good school, it's you can't bring them all with you. There's just not enough availability there. So I think you'll see some nice gestures from Fickell. It won't be in a complete raid, at least for Wisconsin. Other schools and how they come in, that's fair game. But I don't see Wisconsin bringing in, you know, seven former mm-hmm. Cincinnati commitments before December 21st. You know, I don't think it'll be something like that. So you got to play the game a little bit, right? So I think it'll be well received on both ends. I don't think he's going to burn a bunch of bridges from that place. He obviously turned down a bunch of jobs to stay there, so it clearly is something that's important to him.
Great stuff, man. And we're going to continue talking about this, especially as we get closer to monumental times for you. I hope you get coffee ready for this December push here.
Yes, sir. Always.
But yeah, we appreciate it, John. I appreciate everyone tuning in. Locked On Badgers taking the listen. As always, go follow John and all the incredible work he does, especially as signing day is coming up. You're going to get smarter for it. And somebody that we rely on a lot for this type of information and insight. So on Wisconsin, a bunch more to talk to. I'm going to talk to y'all tomorrow, and I'm going to let John go, and we'll continue talking about the big news on Wisconsin.